Thursday, 21 April 16, broadcast at the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for tuning into the Calvary Hour. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're so glad to be with you today by means of Christian radio. We're in 1 Peter chapter 4 and 1 John chapter 4. 1 Peter 4 and 1 John chapter 4. Father, do bless us now with thy word. Speak to my heart, the hearts of all of our listeners. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I hope you had a wonderful service in your church's last midweek night, or maybe your services tonight. I hope you can be there. As we were looking at the causes of Israel going into captivity and realizing, of course, it was because of sin. First of all, it was idolatry, and then idolatry leads to immorality and a breakdown of society. You'll find this truth written throughout the Bible. I'm thinking about Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, when they knew God, they glorified God not as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Over in the book of Ezekiel, God would bring Ezekiel back to the land to show him why he had to send the children of Israel into captivity. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter is writing concerning the saints' suffering and not to think it strange, and that we should use the Lord Jesus Christ as an example. We have gone into Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the letters to the seven churches over in Asia Minor. Right now we're looking at the letter to the church at Philadelphia, one of the two churches that God did not have to chastise. And of course the Lord knew all of these churches. And he said to the church at Philadelphia, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Little strength. They were not a strong people, but they had a strong God. And by the grace of God, and by the way it was by his grace, they had kept his word, and they had not denied his name. We looked at Peter, how he boasted and said that he would never turn his back on the Lord. He would never deny him. So did the rest of the disciples. But of course, that didn't hold up. Our purpose, our plan is to share with you the precious word of God to prepare us for what is coming our way. I do not know exactly what's going to happen, but I do know that in this world you shall have tribulation. But our Lord said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Peter tells us not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try us. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, as he is giving us these instructions regarding suffering, verse 8 just kind of jumps out at you as you come to verse 8, where God gives a superlative here. And he said, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. He said, and above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover a multitude of sins. We have looked at several scriptures concerning the love of God, and we know that we love him because he first loved us. And we said there's two chapters that are given over almost completely to this matter of love, the love of God. We're not speaking about some type of carnal lust. We're not even speaking about brotherly love here as such, though that is mentioned, but rather the love of God. We find this in 1 John chapter 4 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And while we've looked at a number of other scriptures as well, we have now gotten into 1 John chapter 4, and we're in verse 7, 1 John 4 and verse 7. And I'll tell you, God's doing something in my own heart with this, and I hope he is in your heart as well. If there's one thing that this world is destitute today besides truth and righteousness, it's destitute of love. Now, it's not destitute of lust. I'm telling you, lust is prevalent. You know that as well as I do. But it is destitute of love. And you know what causes the world to be destitute of love? The Bible says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So to the extent iniquity abounds in this world, God's love waxes cold. And among God's people, we ought to have hearts that are hot for God. I mean hearts that are in love with God. We love him again because he first loved us. And this love we ought to live and demonstrate, and his love ought to be projected through us to others as well. The only way that the folks are going to know the love of God is that they hear the gospel and that they're loved by God's people. Now, in verse 7, well, let's go back to verse 5 and just a little bit of review here. They are of the world, speaking of the unsaved, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is righteous. God is holy. God is also love. Now, there's some interesting comments have been made about verse 7. Let me read you just a few of them that I have copied down. Charles Spurgeon said concerning this great truth in verses 7 and 8, he said, love is a divine law of life. Selfishness is sin. When grace restores us to our proper relationship with God and His creation, love is the very instinct of our renewed nature. That's a powerful statement, is it not? Love is the divine law of life. Selfishness is sin. When grace restores us to our proper relationship with God and His creation, love is the very instinct of our renewed nature. You know, someone asked the Lord Jesus Christ one time, they said, they were trying to trick Him. They said, now, Master, what's the first and greatest commandment? And He said, they asked Him, what was the greatest commandment? And He said, the first commandment is this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, mind, body, and so forth. And He said, the second one is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we can understand and appreciate what Mr. Spurgeon wrote here. Love is the divine law of life. Selfishness is sin. When grace restores us to our proper relationship with God and His creation, love is the very instinct of our renewed nature. I'd like to start with some comments that was made by Alfred Barnes. They are really good. We'll go as far as we can, and God willing, we'll take them up again tomorrow. In verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, this verse introduces a new topic, the consideration of which occupies the remainder of the chapter. The subject is one on which John dwells more than on any other, that of love. That was the subject that John wrote about the most. I interjected that, of course. Back to Mr. Barnes' statement, his own character peculiarly inclined him to the exercise of love, and the remarkable affection which the Lord Jesus had shown for him seems to have had the effect to give this grace a peculiar prominence in his views of what constituted true religion. If you go over to John chapter 13, verse 23, you'll find the disciples with the Lord Jesus. And who is it that is leaning on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, of course, you know who it was. It was John the Beloved. Oh, what love he had for the Lord, and God used him to write about the love of God. For God is love. I'm back to Alfred Barnes now. All true love has its origin in God. Real love shows that we have His Spirit and that we belong to Him. It assimilates us to God and makes us more and more like Him. What is here said by the apostle is based on the truth of what he affirms elsewhere. He elsewhere affirms, like in 1 John 3:8, that God is love. Hatred, envy, wrath, malice, all have their source in something else than God. He neither originates them, commends them, nor approves them. And everyone that loveth is born of God, is a regenerated man. That is, everyone who has true love to Christians as such, or true brotherly love, is a true Christian. This cannot mean that everyone that loves his wife, his children, his classmate, his partner, in business, or his friend, his house, or his farms, or his horses, or his hounds, is a child of God. It must be understood as referring to the point under discussion. Well, I wish we could go ahead and finish Mr. Barnes' statement. We will, Lord willing, on tomorrow's broadcast. In the meantime, as the scripture said, brethren, let us love one another, for love is of God. I trust God will make each of us a channel of His blessing today. And may the precious love of God be real in our lives as we have trusted Him as our Savior and emanate through our lives to others as well. Father, so grant it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join us next broadcast if you can.